The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 29 to 34. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the fields rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the wood shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, it is easy to forget. It is human to forget. As we heard in the Gospel today, 9 out of the 10 lepers who were cleansed by our Lord forgot, so that down through the centuries we hear Christ's plaintive voice saying, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? We become so busy with our world and with ourselves that we are always forgetting. How quickly we forget days of sickness when we lay helpless on our backs, pleading with God for healing and strength. How easy it is to forget God. We know that it is not right to forget God's goodness. Something within us wants to take us back to give thanks. We know that we ought to return and give glory to God. We ought to praise him for his abundant mercies and truth. Today our text calls us to be encouraged to come and worship. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, come and worship and look at the glory of our God in nature and in our redemption. It was a memorable day for Israel when David stood before the tent or tabernacle he had built for the Ark of God and solemnly instituted the first divine service at the tabernacle. He had appointed the priests who were to officiate, and now as they carried the ark to the tent, he gave Israel this psalm of thanksgiving, which was to be a model for their worship, as indeed it has been for God's people throughout the ages. Give to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering and come before him, I worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, he called to them. And then his voice seemed to reach out into the wide universe as he continued, tremble before him. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the sea roar. Let the field rejoice. Then the trees of the wood shall rejoice. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Nature glorifies God. Look up into the heavens and see the glory of God written there, in the fleecy white vapours scattered about the deep blue firmament, or in the heavily shaded clouds which photographers like to see in a landscape to add beauty. Look at the myriads of tiny lanterns God hangs above our heads each night, and the golden moon that shines on us, bright and new every month. No wonder David sees the heavens rejoice, extolling the glory of the King of creation. He thinks of the mighty seas, the roar of the windswept waves of the Mediterranean rushing in upon the shores of the Holy Land. He hears the mighty waters trembling in upon the sands, splashing for joy at the presence of their Lord and Maker. The fields, heavy laden with ripened grain, swaying gently in the eastern breezes, they too rejoice in God, who has given warmth and rain. Yes, the very trees of the wood sing out, listen to the trees rejoice in the soft summer breezes and in the cold wintry blasts. And often we sing, we realise that in all of God's handiwork, only man is sinful. It stirs our hearts to learn that whatever on the surface of the globe people build their homes, there are also spires, temples that speak of God. But we can only sorrow for the ignorance, the superstition, and the hopelessness in which so many people worship. Yes, even the most irreligious acknowledge the Lord in the emergencies of life. All the earth must fear and tremble before him, as David declares. All nations must join in the tribute of creation and sing, "The Lord reigns." And then there is the wonderful glory of God's love. The height of God's glory are seen in his love. His unsearchable love for man, for us, insignificant as we are, and worthy as sinful as we are, glorifying in ourselves amidst the creation, which is always glorifying God. God's Son humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that he might lift us up and bring us into the family of God. We read in Romans chapter 5 verse 8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We deserve nothing but punishment, but God's Son, by his holy life and innocent suffering and death, paid our debt and bore the punishment of our sins and reconciled us to God. It was the glory of this redeeming love the centurion saw when at the cross he heard the Son of God pray for his executioners and open paradise to a thief. It is the glory of his mercy which we, who are here to worship him, see in ourselves this morning. By his grace, we have had Christian parents and a devout training during our youth. In mercy, the Lord has blessed his word upon our hearts so that we know Jesus as our Saviour, trust and believe, rejoice and take comfort in him. By the power of God's grace, we have been kept on the way to eternal life. Others with parents as good as ours and advantages during youth as we enjoyed them have become dissatisfied with the world and all but cursed God. They live without hope, while we have peace in our hearts, the forgiveness of our sins, the assurance of the Father's love, all because in his boundless love he has kept us loyal to Jesus Christ. Oh, the amazing love of God! A pagan philosopher once wrote that if man had any sense at all, he would be praising his Maker all the day long. How much more reason we have, who in the strength of the Holy Spirit know him, not as a demon or a cruel master, but as our loving Father in Christ, to sing with all our hearts, "Oh, that I had a thousand voices, to praise my God with thousand tongues. My heart, which in the Lord rejoices, would then proclaim in grateful songs to all wherever I might be, what great things God has done for me." So secondly, come and worship and give to God the glory due to him. David remembered and gave glory to God. How may we cultivate the habit of worship and give God the glory due to his name? Worship, someone has said, is what happens when a man becomes fully aware of the presence and purposes of God. The church makes us aware of God's presence. It is so built and adorned, its services are so arranged, as to make us conscious of God's presence. There his truth is proclaimed, and there the purposes of God's love and grace are revealed. It was while David stood at the ark, which symbolized God's presence to the Israelites, that he remembered, as he tells in the first part of this song of thanksgiving, the covenant God had made with their fathers, the protection he had given them through the ages, and the rich land he had given them in Canaan. Aware of God's presence there at the tabernacle and of his purposes through the years, David called upon Israel to give the glory to God, which is due to him, to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. But some people do not remember God's presence. Some have lost this sense of God's presence in churches today. Some come to services not to worship, but to be entertained. They will go if they like the sermon topic, or the preacher, or the music, or the friendliness of the people. If they are disappointed, they might not return. Others are interested in the church primarily as a social club, or because they enjoy the outward fellowship of good people and business prospects. They would not miss a social or a dinner, but they're not interested, or mildly interested in worship. Any flimsy excuse suffices to keep them away from divine services. So how may we increase the desire for worship? We must constantly impress upon our soul its need of God. We are not independent, but dependent. We are dependent upon God for our daily bread. The wicked do not acknowledge it, but we Christians certainly know our daily bread is to be a gift of God. And as our body needs the blessings of God upon our bodies, so we need the blessings of the Lord for the life of our soul. A new consciousness of sin must grip our soul, and a new desire for the Lord's help and strength, guidance and comfort must take hold of our heart. And the worship services in God's house are to the needs of the soul. The lessons and the sermon find God speaking to our heart. For when the minister preaches not man-made doctrines, but the teachings of the Word, we are listening to Christ. For Jesus says of the true preachers of his Word, written in Luke chapter 10, verse 16, "He who hears you, hears me." The minister of Christ does not exalt the heroes of our age, the stars of stage and screen, the victors in war, or the leaders in government, in science and in industry. Instead, he exalts God in the great beauty of his holiness and in the saving beauty of his love and grace. The pastor does not glorify man's achievements, but Christ's redemption. He does not preach man's word, but God's word. Therefore, we robe our clergy to indicate that the minister is not a lecturer, but the voice of God. And when God speak, let all the earth keep silence before him. Let the word of David impress itself on our minds and our hearts. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. In a deep sense of our spiritual need, let us listen attentively, eagerly and prayerfully. For hearing is an act of worship. We honour God when we listen reverently, humbly and eagerly. We give glory to the Lord when with faithful hearts we receive the blessings of his word. The word of God enlightens our minds, strengthens our faith, comforts our soul, sanctifies our life, and revives our drooping hope. But the desire to worship will increase also as we deepen our sense of obligation to God. Always to take and never to give is ingratitude indeed. God desires our praise, our gratitude, and our gifts. We are to give glory to God in praise and thanksgiving, not only in our home, but also together with our fellow Christians in the house of God. The Christian confesses, "In the congregation, I'll bless the Lord." David saw the giving of glory to God as a group action. He even called on the heavens and the seas, the fields and the forests, the whole earth and nations to join and to make his praise glorious. We come to church each Sunday to give thanks for our health, our homes, our loved ones, and the many material and spiritual blessings of the past week. We praise the Lord for all his goodness, his love, and his grace, and his mercy. As a leper returned and fell at the feet of Jesus with a loud voice glorifying God, so let us join heartily in the singing of the hymns. Let us overflow with praise as we sing, "Glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and glory to God in the highest." Throughout the service, let us praise God until we close with the final hymn or doxology. When we make our offering, let it be an act of worship, an act of love and gratitude to God, a gift in keeping with the high obligation we owe to God. Our desire for worship will be stimulated by a sense of deep love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are fellow pilgrims on the road to our eternal home. We are one family in Christ. The more we love the brotherhood, the more we will be urged to meet with our fellow Christians to be built up in our holy faith and to praise together the God of love and the Father of all mercies. We desire to be with those we love, with those who with us love the Lord Jesus, share with us the faith of the saints and the glory and the hope of glory, and with us face the same battles of life. With them we wish to pray, to confess, to praise, to listen, and to commune. The deeper our love for the brethren, the more urgent our desire for corporate worship. Come then, let us give glory to God. All nature about us glorifies the Creator. Praise to the Lamb who was slain and has redeemed us to God by his blood. Let it be the business of our lives, here and now, day by day, everywhere, always to praise the Lord. So let us conclude with the words of the psalmist, written in Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy and because of your truth. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.